looking, of course, for some time now at the miracles of Christ. Last couple weeks, we've been looking here at the healing of this man that was born blind. The whole chapter of John chapter 9 deals with this healing, what transpired after the healing. Again, we'll begin reading with verse 59 of John chapter 8, read through verse 7 of John chapter 9. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. We've seen so far that this man's blindness is very well established. We see 12 times in the chapter we are told that this man was blind. We see that he was born blind, so he's been blind all his life. We do not know how many years that has been. We're not told that, but we do know that he's been blind all of his life. We also know that he was living in poverty from verse 8, the last part of the statement there is, not this he that sat and begged. So he was blind, he was poor, more than likely poor. Being poor was the result of his blindness, or one of the consequences of his blindness. We see Jesus leaves the temple, and we are told that he saw this man. And he did so with love, he did so with compassion, he did so with intent and purpose of healing this man. We saw last week that the disciples asked a question of Jesus, assuming, making an assumption that we must be careful about. And they assumed that the reason this man was blind was directly due to either sin in his life or directly due to sin in his parents' life. And Jesus went on to tell them that it was not due to sin from his parents, not that his parents were without sin, but this blindness was not the result of their sin, nor was it the result or the punishment of this man's sin. And again, we need to be careful that we do not take that attitude, that we do not jump to that conclusion that because somebody has something wrong with them or something has happened in their life, it's because it can be directly attributed to sin, or it is a punishment because of sin. And it may be, but you and I don't know that, and it's really not good to assume that. And we see that Jesus would go on and explain to the disciples that the reason this man was blind was a God reason. That is, so that the Lord would be glorified, that God would be glorified. And how many people's minds go there? Something bad happens, somebody has a major health issue, and how many people's mind immediately goes to, this is a God reason? Not very many. And so we're being warned here. And then we see that Jesus declares his purpose, that is, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, there in verse 5. He was going to bring this man who had lived his entire life in darkness. Jesus was what he needed. He was the light of the world. and Jesus would bring this man to that light. Now we want to look at the healing of this man. We see in verse 6 that Jesus prepares eye salve, and when he had thus spoken, that is, after he had answered the disciples' question, after he had declared his mission in verses 4 and verse 5, he spat on the ground, and then he began to make clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, Jesus could have healed this man's blindness with just a word. He could have given sight to this man by just saying something like, "See," or "Eyes be opened," and the man would have been healed. But instead, Jesus spit upon the ground, made clay with the spittle, took the clay, touched the man's eyes without saying anything. Why did the Lord do that? I believe this is not the first time that the Lord has spit. It's not the first time that the Lord has made clay. And as you read the healing miracles of Christ, you see that the Lord, he healed many lepers, did not always heal them the same way. Healed many blind people, did not always heal them the same way. Healed many crippled people, did not always use the same means of healing them. I believe what this shows is that the Lord is not limited to any one means of doing the miraculous. We have a tendency to think if God's done something in our life and he did it a certain way, that that's the way he'll always do it. No, that you can't back that up from Scripture. In fact, you see just the opposite. Because what the Lord is teaching us, it's not the means that we are to trust in. It's the Lord. The power was not in the clay. The power was in the Lord. And the power is never in the means. The power is in the Lord. And that's what we need to concentrate on. That's what we need to focus upon. So Jesus makes this clay, and then he makes this eye salve, and then he makes application to this blind man. Notice, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Again, the power is not in the clay. The power is in and he. That's where the power is. Not in the clay. You can take away the clay, and you still have he. You take away he, that clay is nothing. Nothing at all. So again, the power is in the he. We tend to get focused on the means rather than where the power is. We see also he gave direction to this blind man. And he said unto him, verse 7, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now that seems to be a strange command. Immediately raises the question, did the water of the pool of Siloam have some healing power? No, not at all. In fact, I don't believe the water in the pool of Siloam was any different than any other water. It was water. That's not the point here. Again, just as there was no healing power in the clay, there is no healing power in the water. So why? Why did Christ instruct this man to go down to the pool of Siloam and watch? I believe to test this man's faith. It was simply a test of faith. And many times the commands of God, that's all it is a test of faith. And we see that the blind man obeyed the direction of Christ. We read there again in verse 7, he went his way therefore. Therefore, it goes back to the fact because the Lord told him so. That's the only reason you need. That's the only reason you need is because the Lord said so. So, he went his way therefore and washed. Now, this man is still blind. When the Lord told him to go to the pool of Siloam, he has not yet received his sight. So when this man goes to the pool of Siloam, he did so in darkness. He had to feel his way there. And why did he go? Why did he go? Did he go because he had heard that the water of the pool of Siloam had some healing power? No, if that was the case, wouldn't he have not already been there? No, because he had heard that Jesus had healing power. And when Jesus instructed him, it's not that he was believing in the healing power of the pool of Siloam because there was none, but because he believed in the healing power of the one who told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man washed, and then we read in the latter part of verse 7, and came seeing. And came seeing. It was the power of God that caused this man to obey, and it was the power of God that gave him sight. Did he get sight because he obeyed? No. He got sight because of Christ. But he did obey. He made his way to the pool of Siloam. He did so in the darkness of blindness. But he returned seeing. And it was all due to the power of Christ. This man's life has been changed. All because of the power of Christ. This man's life is different than it's ever been. He's never seen before, and now he sees. And you can only imagine the joy of his heart as he returns from the pool of Siloam and he came seeing. He went back to where Christ was, there at that temple. Quite a difference between the way he went to the pool of Siloam and the way that he returned from the pool of Siloam. But he came seeing. Now, this man's healing is confirmed throughout the chapter. It is confirmed over and over and over throughout the chapter. Again, by way of review, it is stated 12 times that this man was blind. 12 times we are told that this man was blind. It seems to me that the Lord is stressing, he wants us to realize that this man was blind. There should be no question about that. When you say something 12 times, you get the idea after a while. This man was blind. Notice, we've already looked at these verses. Verse 1, he was blind from his birth. Verse 2, he was born blind. Verse 6, the latter part of the verse, we read the blind man. In verse 8, he was blind. And in verse 13, was blind. In verse 17, the blind man. In verse 18, blind. In verse 19, was born blind. In verse 20, he was born blind. in verse 24, was blind. In verse 25, I was blind. In verse 32, the last three words of that verse, was born blind. 12 times we are told that he was blind. 5 times we are told that he was born blind. And so his blindness is confirmed. And it is stated 15 times. It is stated 15 times that he was blind no more. 15 times in different ways, we are told that this man was healed, that this man was made different. Notice verse 7. He came seeing. He came seeing. That means he had been healed. Verse 13, aforetime before was blind, meaning that he no longer is. Verse 14, and it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus opened his eyes. Over and over, it is being confirmed that this man has been healed. Verse 18, we read him that had received sight. This man's neighbors confirmed that he had been healed. They confirmed by asking him, how were thine eyes opened? They could see that this man was no longer blind. So they asked the question, how were thy eyes open? The blind man himself confirmed. He said in verse 11, I received sight. He said in verse 15, I do wash, or I washed, and do see. And in verse 25, he said, I was blind. Now I see. Verse 30, the blind man says, he hath opened mine eyes. So the neighbors confirmed that this man has been healed. The man himself confirmed that he had been healed. The man's parents confirmed that he had been healed. In verse 21, the parents said, by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. Twice the parents said there, he now seeth and his eyes have been opened. So the parents confirmed that this, their son, had been healed. The Pharisees, the very enemies of Christ, confirmed this man's healing. They did so by asking the parents, how then doth he now see? Verse 19. How then doth he now see? He now see. They are confirming that a miracle has taken place. Their questions to the blind man confirmed that he had been healed. They asked in verse 15 how he had received his sight. In verse 17, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And in verse 26, how opened he thine eyes? And by their statement in verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This man, who had lived his entire life in darkness, now sees. Just like in salvation, a life altering change has been brought about. And how was it brought about? Was it brought about by the waters of the pool of Siloam? No. Was it brought about by this something this man did? No. It was brought about by a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And that encounter began with, and Jesus saw a man which was blind from his birth. The Lord took the initiative. And then this change, this life-altering change, is verified. It is positively affirmed by his neighbors. That is, the neighbors could look at this man and they can see something has happened. We know what this man was. He was blind. But now he sees. So even this man's neighbors could see that a change had taken place. The man himself confirmed over and over and over again, I was blind, but now I see. He could not fully explain it. As time went on, he was able to better explain it. But all he knew at first was a miracle had taken place in his life. And he knew that he was no longer what he once was. I was blind, but now I see. The man's parents affirmed that their son had been healed. They told the Pharisees, we don't know how. We do know this. He was blind, and now he sees. We can't explain it. But his whole life is different. Everything about him is different. And then the very enemies of Christ, the ones who tried their best to deny every miracle that Christ performed, had to affirm that this man's eyes have been opened. My point is, not only is this a life-altering change? But everyone can see it. And everyone confirms this man's eyes have been opened. This man is no longer what he once was. What a testimony. What a testimony. All because of something that Christ did. And we see this all through the Word of God. When God saves a sinner, there is a manifest, and I mean manifest, change in their life. Not just in the way they live, there's a manifest change in their attitude. Don't you think this man's attitude changed? Oh, I believe it did. I believe it did greatly. His whole demeanor changed. And everyone could see it. Yet we live in a day when people want us to believe that they have met Christ, that they have had a personal encounter with Christ, and yet it has made absolutely no difference in their life whatsoever. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. Because Scripture nowhere backs that up. And I don't believe the individual who says that is the one exception. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. There is a manifest change in a person's life. Can God's people slip? Can God's people fall? Certainly they can. And certainly they do. But there is salvation brings a change. A change that no one else can bring about. It is a change that only the Lord can bring. And this, of course, is our hope. Next week we'll continue looking at this. We see this miracle gave occasion to many discussions amongst various people. And when the Lord truly saves someone, it causes people to talk. Because when someone is changed from night to day, people are going to talk. And people began to talk. The neighbors talked. The man who was healed talked. The parents talked. The enemies talked. People were talking. And the Lord would use all this to teach valuable lessons. Let's look to the Lord and word of